Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, April 3rd, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in Revelation chapter 6, and I will read the entire chapter. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by the sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beast of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they had been. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair, and the whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth, as figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?" And now we move from Revelation to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 117, which is a very short psalm. "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love toward us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." Okay, let's move forward from that psalm to Jonah chapter 4. Y'all, we are rounding out Jonah, and that means we're finishing up another prophetic book. So we've read Obadiah, we've read Amos and Joel. We have a lot in the last couple of days that we can check off our list. Not that we're doing this to check off our list, but just to remind ourselves of how the Lord spoke throughout history from the beginning in Genesis all the way to Revelation, that that He is our same God and that the prophetic books speak about our Savior who is to come. He says so on the road to Emmaus, that all the prophets and all the law speak and point to Him. And so as we read Jonah chapter 4, I want you to keep that in mind. How do you see our Lord Jesus in this passage? But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a little shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for a great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word. I haven't talked a lot about Revelation since we've started the book of Revelation, so I want to talk a little bit today about the seven seals that we see in Revelation chapter 6 and 7, and then on into chapter 8. And I want to first back up and remind us that in chapters 4 and 5, we talked about the fact that who is worthy to open the seals, and no one was found to be worthy except the Lamb, who we know to be Jesus. And then in Revelation 6, we see here that everybody surrounds the throne and they say, "Come," and they watch the Lamb open the seals. And so the Lord is opening the seals. He is the only one worthy to do this. And so the first point I want to make is that Jesus stands as the worthy one in Revelation. He is the all-powerful one. He is the one who is coming to save. And then as He opens these seals, we have to think through, how are we going to read Revelation? And so I want to commend to you two documents that are on a website called visualunit.me, visual as in you see, unit as in a measure, dot me. One of them is the four ways to read Revelation. And so in this document, he talks about four different ways that we can kind of grapple with what does this book mean. One of them is the preterist. So that would be that Revelation is about all the events in the past, that it's speaking mostly to the first century Christians, and they would read it with a lens of this is happening in our lifetime. The second is the futurist, and that's the idea that Revelation is about events in the future, that what is described in Revelation is predicting something in the far distant future. Then there's the historicist, And this is that Revelation is about all of history. This is a popular method of trying to dive into Revelation so that there's this timetable and you can see the signs of the time and that the events today are described in Revelation. And then there's the idealist, which means that Revelation is about timeless principles. So in other words, it's not about a specific time. It's about a pattern of events or trends that are repeated throughout history, and that Revelation is an encouragement for God's people in all times who face persecution. So in essence, it's a timeless message. And then it's not on that four ways to read Revelation handout. But if you read a commentary, let me see the name of it here. It's called Revelation by J. Scott Duvall. He actually gives a fifth way to read, and it's the eclectic way. So he just says he wants to take some of each of those different ways to read Revelation and combine them so that some things were in the past, some things are still to come in the future, other things we can see in history. And really, we can read Revelation as a message to all generations. And so with that in mind, when we think about the four horsemen that we read about today, these different seals that are opened up, the rider holding a bow, wearing a crown that is bent on conquest, which was the first seal, the white horse, I can think about times throughout all of history where powerful sources have come and defeated other nations. There's another handout, and I know I'm putting a lot out there for you today. So on Instagram, I hope to put these two documents out there so that you can see them, or on hopefully our social media pages. But on there, I want to post another document that the website visual unit has on it, and it is called The Seven Seals, Revelation 6 through 8. And it just takes you through the seven different seals that are opened in these chapters. And what I see here is that throughout time, we talked about the first seal, but the second seal is a powerful rider on a fiery red horse holding a sword and taking peace from the earth. So in different times in human history, there has been unrest. The third is a black horse holding a pair of scales and bringing famine. We've seen famine and poverty all throughout history. The fourth seal, being a pale horse, is death riding on this pale horse with Hades following behind, having the power of a quarter of the earth to kill by the sword and famine. And we've seen this throughout history, haven't we? And so we have to ask ourselves, what does this mean for us? What did it mean for the first century, and what does it mean for us? And I've asked Amy, and she did a whole study on Revelation, and she's gleaning from J. Scott Duvall here. But we have to ask ourselves the question, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your nationality? Are you trusting in your power, your wealth, or your health? Or are you trusting in the Lamb who is worthy to receive power and glory and wealth and honor? And so I just want to leave us there today, just thinking about whether we are trusting in what we have and our conditions with this world, or if we're trusting on the one who has overcome the world. And so as we end the podcast today, I want to end it with that wonderful song, Is He Worthy, by Andrew Peterson. And the Contemporary Worship Band has done this song, and so I want to end with that thought in mind.
I encourage you all to respond in faith this morning to this song.
Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? It is. It is a new creation coming. It is. It is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst. It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died
to ransom the slave.
Is he worthy? Blessing and honor and glory. Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? He does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. And is Jesus our Messiah hold forever those he loves? He does. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? Believe it. He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Judah, he's conquered the grave, and he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slain. Proclaim.